pilgrim's life in the first place?" asked Piety. "I was driven out of my native country by something dreadful that I'd heard, that is, that unavoidable destruction awaited me if I continued to live there." "But how did you happen to come out of your country this way?" asked Piety. "It was God's doing, for I did not know where to go. But as I was trembling and weeping with fear of destruction, a man named Evangelist happened to come to me. He directed me to the wicket gate, which otherwise I should never have found, and thus he set me on the way that has led me directly to this house." "But didn't you come past the house of the interpreter?" asked Piety. "Yes, and the memory of the things I saw there will stay with me as long as I live, especially these three things: how Christ, in despite of Satan, maintains his word of grace in the heart; how man's sin is so great that he does not deserve God's mercy; and also the dream of him that dreamed the day of judgment had come." "Why, did you hear him tell about his dream?" asked Piety. "Yes, and a dreadful one it was. It made my heart ache as he was telling it. And yet I'm glad I heard it." "Was that all you saw at the house of the interpreter?" asked Piety. "No. He showed me a stately palace, where the people were clad in gold. And while we were there, an adventurous man came and cut his way through the armed men who stood at the door to keep him out. And he was told to come in and win eternal glory. I was overcome with joy and delight at the sight of these things, and would have stayed at that good man's house a year, except that I knew I had further to go." "And what else did you see on the way?" asked Piety.
"Saw? Why, I had only gone a little further when I saw a man hanging, bleeding, upon a tree.
And the very sight of him made my burden fall off my back, for I had been carrying a very heavy burden. I had never seen such a thing before. And while I stood looking up, for then I could not stop looking, three shining ones came to me. One of them testified that my sins were forgiven. Another stripped me of my rags and gave me this embroidered coat. And the third set the mark that you see on my forehead, and gave me this sealed scroll." And with that he pulled it out of his coat.
"But you saw more than this, didn't you?" asked Piety.
"The things that I've told you were the best. Yet there were other things I saw. I saw three men, Simple, Sloth, and Presumption, asleep beside the way and with shackles upon their feet. But do you think I could awake them? I also saw Formality and Hypocrisy come tumbling over the wall, pretending to go to Zion. But they were quickly lost, even as I warned them. But they would not believe. But above all, I found it hard work to get up this hill, and as hard to come past the lion's mouth. And truly, if it had not been for the good porter that stands at the gate, I do not know but that I might have turned back after all. But now I thank God I am here. I thank you for receiving me." Then Prudence asked him a few questions. "Don't you ever think about the country from which you came?"
"Yes, but with much shame and contempt. If I truly longed for the country I left, I could have returned. But now I desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one."
"Don't you still bear with you some of the things that concerned you there?" asked Prudence.
"Yes, but greatly against my will, especially inward and carnal thoughts, with which all my countrymen as well as myself were delighted. Now those things are grievous to me, and if I could, I would choose never to think of them again. But when I would do that which is best, that which is worst is with me."
"Don't you find that sometimes those things can be subdued?" asked Prudence.
"Yes, although seldom, but when it happens, it is precious to me."
"Can you remember by what means you subdued these things that troubled you?" asked Prudence.
"Yes, when I think of what I saw at the cross, that will do it. And when I look upon my embroidered coat, that will do it. And when I look into the scroll that I carry, that will do it. And when I think about where I'm going, that will do it."
"But what is it that makes you so eager to go to Mount Zion?" asked Prudence.
"Why, there I hope to see him alive who was hanging dead on the cross. And there I hope to get rid of all those things that to this day are an annoyance to me. There they say there is no death. And there I shall dwell with the kind of companions I like best. For to tell you truth, I love him,
because he relieved me of my burden, and I am weary of my inward sickness. I want to be where I shall die no more, and in the company of those who shall continually cry, Holy, holy, holy. Then Charity said to Christian, Have you a family? Are you a married man? I have a wife and 4 small children. Why didn't you bring them along with you? Asked Charity. Then Christian wept and said, Oh, how willingly I would have done so. But they were all utterly against my going on pilgrimage. But you should have talked to them and tried to show them the danger of being left behind, said Charity. I did, and I told them what God had showed me about the destruction of our city, but it seemed to them as one that mocked, and they did not believe me. Did you pray and ask God to bless your advice to them? Asked Charity. Yes, with much love, for you must know that my wife and 4 children were very dear to me. Did you tell them about your own sorrow and fear of destruction? Yes, over and over and over. They also could see my fears in my expression, in my tears, in my trembling, because of my apprehension about the judgment that hung over our heads. But all that was not sufficient to prevail upon them to come with me. What did they say for themselves? Why they would not come? Asked Charity. Well, my wife was afraid of losing this world, and my children were devoted to the foolish delights of youth. So what with one thing and another, they left me to come this way alone. Were they perhaps confused because your life did not measure up to your words as you tried to persuade them to come away with you? Asked Charity. Indeed, I cannot commend my life, for I am conscious of my many failings. I know that a man can damage his witness by bad behavior. Yet this I can say, I was very careful lest by some unseemly action I would cause them to become averse to going on pilgrimage. In fact, they would tell me I was too precise, that I denied myself things for their sake in which they saw no evil. No, I think I may say that if they saw anything in me that hindered them, it was my great sensitivity about sinning against God or doing any wrong to my neighbor. Charity said, Indeed, Cain hated his brother because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And if your wife and children have been offended by you because of this, they cannot be pleased by goodness, and thou hast delivered thy soul from their blood. Now I saw in my dream that they sat talking together until supper was ready, and they sat down to eat. Now the table was set with a feast of rich food and with good wine. And all their talk at the table was about the Lord of the Hill, namely about what he had done, and why he did what he did, and why he had built that house. And by what they said I perceived that he had been a great warrior, and had fought with and slain him that had the power of death, but not without great danger to himself, which made me love him the more. For as they said, and as I believe, said Christian, he did it with the loss of much blood. But that which put the glory of grace into all he did was that he did it out of pure love. And besides, some of the household said that they had been with him and spoken with him since he died on the cross. And they attested that they had heard from his own lips that he is such a lover of poor pilgrims that the like is not to be found from the east to the west. They gave an example of this, and that was that he had stripped himself of his glory, so he might do this for the poor. And they had heard him say and affirm that he would not dwell in the Mount of Zion alone. They said, moreover, that he had made princes of many pilgrims who had been born beggars and were by nature destined for the dunghill. Thus they talked together till late at night, and after they had prayed together for the Lord's protection, they went to bed. They put the pilgrim in a large upper chamber where the windows opened toward the sunrise. The name of the chamber was Peace, and he slept there till break of day, when he awoke and sang. Where am I now? Is this the love and care of Jesus for the men that pilgrims are? Thus to provide that I should be forgiven and dwell already the next door to heaven. In the morning they all got up, and after some more conversation they told Christian that he should not depart until they had shown him the various rooms in the palace. First they took him into the study, where they showed him records of great antiquity, in which, as I remember my dream, they showed him first the genealogy of the Lord of the Hill, that he was the son of the Ancient of Days, and came by that eternal generation. Here also the acts that he had done were more fully recorded, and the names of many hundreds that he had taken into his service, and how he had placed them in habitations that neither time nor death could destroy. Then they read to him some of the worthy acts that some of his servants had done, how they had subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped to the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They then read in another part of the records of the house how willing their Lord was to receive anyone into his favor, even those who in the past had defied him. Here Christian also viewed several other histories of famous things, both ancient and modern, together with prophecies and predictions of things to come, both to the dread and amazement of enemies and to the comfort and solace of pilgrims. The next day they took him into the armory, where they showed him all the equipment their Lord had provided for pilgrims, such as sword, shield, helmet, breastplate, all kinds of prayers, and shoes that would not wear out. And there was enough here to equip as many men for the service of their Lord as there are stars in the heavens. They also showed him some of the implements with which some of his servants had done wonderful things. They showed him Moses' rod, the hammer and nail with which Jael slew Sisera, the pitchers, trumpets, and lamps with which Gideon put the armies of Midian to flight. Then they showed him the ox's goad with which Shamgar slew 600 men, the jawbone with which Samson did such mighty feats, the sling and stone with which David slew Goliath, and the sword with which their Lord will kill the man of sin. Besides all this, they showed him many excellent things with which Christian was much delighted. This done, they again went to bed. On the next day he intended to leave, but they wanted him to stay another day. If the day is clear, they said, we will show you the Delectable Mountains, which will add to your comfort because they are nearer your destination than this place. So he consented and stayed. When morning came, they took him to the top of the house and told him to look south. So he did. And he saw at a great distance a beautiful mountainous country with woods, vineyards, fruits and flowers of all sorts, springs and fountains, wonderful to behold. Then he asked the name of the country, and they said, it is Emmanuel's land, and it belongs to all pilgrims, as does this hill. And when you get there, you will be able to see the gate of the celestial city. Now he thought he should leave, and they were willing that he should. But first they said, let us go again into the armory. So they did, and there they equipped him from head to foot in case he should meet with assaults on the way. Being thus clad, he walked out with his friends to the gate, and there he asked the porter if he had seen a pilgrim pass by. The porter answered, yes. Did you know him? He told me his name was Faithful. Oh, I know him, said Christian. He comes from the place where I was born, and was my neighbor. How far ahead is he? By this time he should be at the foot of the hill. Well, good porter, the Lord be with you and bless you greatly for the kindness you have showed to me. Then he began to go forward. But discretion, piety, charity, and prudence wanted to accompany him down to the foot of the hill. So they went on together, discussing their former conversations, till they started down the hill. Then said Christian, as it was difficult coming up, so, as far as I can see, it is dangerous going down. Yes, said Prudence, so it is. for it is hard for a man to go down into the valley of humiliation, as you are now, and not to slip on the way. That is why we came out to accompany you down the hill. So he began to go down very carefully, yet he did slip a time or two. Then I saw in my dream that when Christian had gotten to the bottom of the hill, these good companions gave him a loaf of bread, a bottle of wine, and a cluster of raisins, and then he went on his way.